simply will not buy the world that the elders have given them. They see too much hypocrisy in it. They see too many things that are wrong with it. And I think that the elders are going to have to realize that they simply can no longer browbeat youth into following its established path.
Welcome back to Sunset Politics. I'm Story.
I'm Molly.
I believe the last time we recorded, I was still back in the States, but I am officially back in the States, and I am back in Eugene for college, which is fun. I'm living in my apartment now. I don't have any roommates, which is really nice for me. I'm enjoying it so far. Class has started last week. I've also had a lot of other stuff going on with a play that I'm directing with a student theater group on campus. It's called The Originalist. It's about Justice Scalia and how he would always hire one liberal law clerk to argue with. And I casted it this week, and it's really fun. So, yeah. Molly, what have you been up to?
That sounds so exciting, and I'm really excited to hear more about it as you work more on it. And get your cast already and everything. Honestly, school has been very busy so far, which in a way is very nice, but also kind of hectic. I'm taking two law classes this quarter, which I'm really, really hyped about, just because, like, I love law, I love learning about it, and both of my professors are, like, very well, like, versed, I guess, in, like, the law field. Like, one of them was, like, an attorney, and she represented, like, victims of, like, torture in, like, Israeli like jails, I guess, in prisons, because she was born in Israel. And then my other professor, he's just done a lot of research, and he actually is, like, kind of newer to teaching, which is kind of funny, I guess. But he, like, seems very, like, excited about the class, and I don't know, I just feel like I'm gonna learn a lot from both of them because I really respect them as people. Not that I don't respect my other professors, but, like, these two in particular, like, I feel like I really just, like, something about them I just really like. And then I'm taking a nutrition class as well, which I'm actually really excited for, too, because we get to do, like, an interview with a food professional. And one of my cousins owns a restaurant, and he's actually opening a bakery as well. So we're going to interview him. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about, like, just all my classes this quarter, which I feel like is a good feeling. What about you, Story? How are your classes so far?
My classes are going pretty well. Right now I'm in, like, 5 classes. It's going to go down to 4 at some point because I'm on the wait list for one, and I've just been showing up to class. But at this point, it's looking less and less likely that I'm actually going to get in, so I'm probably just going to drop that. But yeah, I'm enjoying my classes. It's one of them is, like, a seminar about democracy, which is really nice.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun on that one. The one class that I'm trying to get into on the wait list is called U.S. Interventions in Developing Countries, which is, like, a topic that I've been really interested in for a while.
That sounds like it would be so good, like, so interesting, especially, like, because, like, I know, like, you know, like, so much about, like, foreign policy, you know, and, like, you, like, read up so much. Like, I feel like that would be such a cool class, you know? Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've been doing... Sorry. Go ahead.
I said there's a lot of reading for it that I've been doing just because I've been showing up to class. It's, yeah, there's a lot of it, but it's really interesting.
I feel like constitution team, honestly, like, for a lot of these classes, like, it helps, at least, like, for me personally. Like, in the law class, we were talking about, like, something, I don't remember exactly what it was, and I was like, I already know this from con team. Like, it is kind of nice having, like, that background, I feel like, for a lot of these kind of classes, because even if you don't know the content, like, I feel like if you know other information about, like, I don't know, maybe the general area or, like, the policy that we have towards them or just, like, things that have been going on, I feel like it helps so much more with, like, the overall understanding of what you're learning about, at least for me personally.
Yeah. Like, first day of class, the professor was like, she, like, asked a question to the class and was like, oh, like, who knows, like, why it's weird that, like, the president can just go to war like this. Like, there's a constitution clause, and we're like, oh, I know it. And, like, no one else in the class knew it. And even though they're mostly, like, juniors and seniors. But, yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, also yesterday night I got to go see a play at a theater in town called What the Constitution Means to Me, which is like I think it started in out in DC as a one woman show. But that one woman actually went to the University of Oregon, which is where I go in Eugene. And the director like knew her personally. So, and they like did some changes to the show to like make it cool. And it was like actually in Eugene, which is like, they mentioned Eugene in the play. But yeah, it was a really good play. I think it closes tonight. So unfortunately you probably won't be able to go see it anymore if you're in Eugene. But, I really enjoyed it. And it was like, there were so many things like from Conti that I was like, oh, like I know that. And it's like on stage now. It's incredible. And there's this audience of like people that doesn't know what she's talking about, but I do. It's like, yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing. That's so fun. I feel I just feel like Conteam is like one of those things where like we'll always have like cool things like we learn that like we'll always be able to take places and like talk to people about, you know, which I just love.
Yeah,
like, I think it's just the coolest thing. But yeah, should we get into our first topic?
Yeah,
awesome. Story, do you want to give some background on this, or do you want me to, or what do you prefer for the government shutdown?
Yeah, sure. I can talk a bit about it. So
awesome.
Last night, we're recording this on Sunday morning, but last night, Saturday night, the 30th of September, Congress passed a bill to fund the government until like mid-November. otherwise, like it would have shut down, and basically the government would not have been able to like pay any of the things that it has to, including workers that work for the government. So obviously that's really bad. But like it's good that they were able to fund it. It's one of those like games of chicken that Congress always plays with itself. It's like the debt ceiling. We've talked about that a few times. It's one of those things that's like, this is like, you have to do this, and they keep doing it like eventually. But there's always like negotiations with like hardliners that want to like shut down the government to prove a point. And this time around, it's people like Matt Gaetz and the like that filibuster isn't the right word, but they like when the Congress was starting session, they delayed the vote on electing Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House. And one of their conditions for eventually like electing him was that they would do things like, you know, cut spending, and that like now the big thing Matt Gaetz is doing is doing a proposal to remove McCarthy from power, which is one of the conditions that any legislator could at any time like ask to remove McCarthy from power, and they wouldn't have to do a vote on it. So it's just lots of chaos within the Republican Party. The hardliners versus the I don't want to call Kevin McCarthy moderate, but like in comparison to people like Matt Gaetz, he's pretty moderate.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, what I thought was like interesting about this whole thing was like you were saying, it's kind of like, doesn't this has happened like so many times. It's like a constant game of chicken, like you said. I mean, it's honestly like very embarrassing, like that it takes the like this much like of a time crunch for them to like finally be like, okay, fine, we'll like have consensus and just like pass this. I mean, like Biden did say like, you know, like I'm happy like that this has happened for the American people, because, you know, like it does have like disaster relief. But he also said like this should not have happened in the first place. Like we should not have been in this position. And like, I really honestly do agree with President Biden in this case, because like we shouldn't be. And I don't know. I do think it's interesting though too, because this bill actually doesn't have like new aid for Ukraine, which I know is something that a lot of Senate leaders were pushing for. So that was kind of interesting. But there was a Department of Defense official who did say like we should be able to like continue to like sustain, or like, sorry, not sustain, like meet their needs, I guess, like of Ukraine for like a little bit longer. It just sounds like they probably would have to maybe get us another bill or something that would add more funding if we want it to be for longer than the little bit longer that it should last.
Yeah. I think there were congressional leaders on like both parties that said they were confident that they could actually get a bill passed like soon, that would do more aid for Ukraine, but there wasn't time to negotiate it, I guess, because the bill like had to be passed last night, otherwise the government would shut down, and it was passed exactly last night. So
yeah. It's just wild though that like this, like, again, like I literally like remember the last time that this was happening, and it's just like every time it's like always such a time crunch, and like nobody wants to just like make stuff happen. So yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they were able to, you know, help, I guess, pass something, but yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about our next topic?
Do you want to talk about Bob Menendez? Because I don't know as much about.
Yeah. So Bob Menendez is a longstanding senator, Democrat from New Jersey, I believe, who has been like a ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee for a long time. And he was just indicted after allegations came to light that he had accepted bribes from Egyptian government officials, and I believe from businesses as well, that allegedly like influenced policy. And it was like some pretty insane stuff. Like he was getting actual like gold bars from like Egyptian officials, to vote a certain way to send aid to Egypt. Because he is like, as a, you know, he's obviously only one senator, but as like a powerful member of the committee, like he has a lot of power to determine like what gets sent to where, in the Senate. Like he doesn't have like unilateral authority to send money to Egypt, but like he's a very powerful member in Congress that can influence what Congress decides. So yeah, I think he is. There's been a lot of calls for him to step down, which I think is, given that he's a Democrat, like, is sort of weird, because when Republicans do stuff like this, no one asks them to step down. We talked about Clarence Thomas, I think, a few episodes ago. There's like nothing there, but he's not stepping down. I think he gave up his committee position, but he's not stepping down as a senator.
I did actually hear about this. I just like, I didn't register the name, but that is kind of wild though, that like he just got indicted and then all those things came out just so fast, like quickly after. I feel like I didn't really know that much about him, to be honest, to begin with, but I always find it surprising when people do things like that, like you're saying though, and like they don't like fully just step down, because in a way it like, at least as a constituent for me, would be like, oh, this person doesn't have any integrity, like even if I originally supported them. But I don't know, like it'll be interesting to see like if he'll be able to stay in office after this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, like if he stepped down, like the governor of New Jersey is a Democrat, so it's not like a Republican would fill a spot. But
yeah, no, that's the thing. It's just like, I'm just really surprised that like, he just was kind of like, whatever. I mean, but I guess we'll see in the next election when he's up for re-election.
Is he up for election in 2024?
I think it's a little bit farther. Let me check. Sorry, y'all. Quick intermission.
See, soon office in 2006.
Oh, no, it looks like it's, I think you're right. 2024. Yeah, because it says he announced, or at least a few days ago, it was speculated that he was going to announce re-election in 20, like a bid for re-election in 2024.
Okay.
From like a few different like news sources. But this is kind of interesting. Representative Andy Kim announced that he'll actually run against Senator Menendez, like as a result of like the indictment. Like, so maybe he will get unseated in 2024. I guess we'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say, story about this?
No, not really. And I think you had more stuff on the next one.
Yeah. So, we wanted to give y'all a update on the Trump indictment in Georgia. So one of the 19 co-defend or sorry, one of 18 co-defendants along with former President Trump, that was charged or yeah, charged with him, with interfering in the 2020 election, in Georgia, was, this man named Scott Hall, and he actually was the first to plead guilty in the case, or enter a plea, I guess, not plead guilty. But yeah, so he entered a plea deal with Fulton County District Attorney, and he pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges, and he'll have 5 years of probation. And if he ends up upholding the deal as he should, he will also testify in related hearings and trials that come from like the indictment that is happening. Yeah, that was, I can't speak today. I'm so sorry. The indictment in Georgia. But yeah, it'll be very interesting, I think, to see like if he tattletales on the rest of the defendants. Who were indicted, especially I think about former President Trump. Like, I think that's what most people are like really curious to see, because a lot of people close to President Trump, like I know there was a former aide, isn't her name like Cassidy Hutchins as well, who was like kind of talking about Trump, and like she was talking about how like Rudy Giuliani like did something inappropriate to her, and like she was like kind of, didn't she testify in Congress recently as well?
Like, yeah, I believe she testified before the January 6th committee, back when that was happening.
Yeah. But it seems like a lot of people who like were thought of to be like close to President Trump kind of like have been almost not like going against him, but almost kind of exposing more. Yeah, because she was talking, like, because she wrote like a book where she talked about like a lot of the things that happened. Like, I know one of them was like how Trump didn't want to wear a mask because it, like, his bronzer he would wear like would get on the straps or something, so it literally became like a thing that his party was like super against, but for him it was more about like the aesthetics is kind of what she was talking about. But anyways, like, my point though is just like, you know, these people who maybe Trump thought were like allies before, because I know, like, this is like really random, but I'm pretty sure like she was one of the only people he used to follow on Instagram or something like that. So like, I don't know. It's just like really interesting that like a lot of these people are kind of starting to speak out against, even if it's not like extreme ways, like, you know, because they want to kind of clear their own names, I guess. So yeah, just like really interesting. And then Trump also decided to drop his bid to move the Georgia trial to like federal court, which is interesting. Story and I both were kind of chatting about it earlier, and like we don't like want to necessarily say anything. Like anything like, oh, this is for sure, but like it kind of seems like more of a strategic move, more than anything. But I guess it'll be interesting to just see how the rest of this plays out, like if more maybe co-defendants will come out and say like, no, like I also want to take a plea deal, like I'm done with this game. Yeah, anything you want to add, Story?
No, I was just looking at an article about the Georgia thing. It looks like, I think that's like, it says a day later, a federal judge on Friday rejected the efforts of all the remaining defendants who had sought removal. So it seems like it was pretty obvious that the judge was going to rule against him if he tried to move it to federal court. Anyway, so yeah, because it's, I think he tried to say that like he was like a federal official or something by being like a, who he was at the time, but like he wasn't technically. So yeah, it's weird, like legal stuff that I'm not, I would need to read more into to fully give a good answer there. But yeah, I think that also means it's, the trial is probably going to be sooner. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be.
Yeah. No, it'll be really interesting. But yeah, we just wanted to give y'all a little update on that. But yeah, we can, unless you have anything else to add, sorry, we can transition into our next topic if you want to start us off.
Yeah. So while we've been talking about Georgia, the state, there's also another country abroad that's also called Georgia that we're not going to be talking about today, but it's very close to two other countries that we will be. And that's Armenia and Azerbaijan. And the reason why we're talking about them is because a couple of weeks ago, the conflict there's a conflict over a region in between them called Nagorno-Karabakh, which has been going on for a long time. There was a ceasefire agreement there in 2020 that was broken on September 19th by Azerbaijan, which essentially invaded and like forced out most of the like Armenian presence there and essentially took over the area. And they're like, the reason I think why they were able to do it, a lot of people say, is because the peace was mostly being mediated by Russian peacekeepers, which lost a lot of their presence and like resources that they needed because of Russia's war in Ukraine. And so Azerbaijan, which is a more Western aligned country, typically, it has a close relationship with Turkey. A lot of Europe is now getting their oil and gas from Azerbaijan because of the sanctions on Russia. And Armenia is like, it's actually more democratic, but it's also more aligned with Russia. And so Azerbaijan just essentially invades, taking advantage of the weak Russian peacekeepers. And yeah, it's, I think a lot of humanitarian organizations have denounced it. It's obviously a violation of the ceasefire agreement. And I think a lot of people are pointing to the idea of like Russian weakness as like the cause for this, which they sort of brought on themselves by invading Ukraine. And so a lot of like, you know, more like realist people, which is like in terms of like people that follow international relations, there's like people that tend to advocate for a balance of power, which arguably could have like prevented this. Like if Russia hadn't been worried about fighting in Ukraine, they would have been able to devote more resources to Nagorno-Karabakh, which means we probably wouldn't have seen this war. So yeah, I think like some people have been advocating for the U.S. to get involved, but the U.S. historically doesn't really want to get involved because like there's not that much of an interest for the U.S. there. I think the reality is we're probably unlikely to see any kind of U.S. involvement beyond like condemnation. But like even then, I think they're probably going to be pretty reluctant to condemn Azerbaijan, given the close relationship between Azerbaijan and a lot of European countries and Turkey. But yeah,
I think it's just like, I think my like big thing I would like mention is like this like conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan has been going on for so long, like even like in small ways, like it doesn't. Like, it makes the news, but I feel like there's just always something kind of going on, you know, like some sort of tension brewing there. But I think it's just really scary because, like, there's already so much going on right now, like, especially, like, with Ukraine and Russia. You know, like, any other big conflict just seems, like, really daunting right now, I think. And I feel like it's just, like, I feel like we always talk about this, but, like, I really just hope that the people who, like, live in these countries, like, really are able to be, like, removed from the conflict and not have to deal with it. Like, I know a lot of people, it sounds like a lot of Armenians, at least, I'm sure a lot of Azerbaijanis as well have left, but it sounds like at least 100,000 people have like kind of fled the region in general, which is a lot of people to be like basically forcibly displaced. So I just hope that they can like somehow find some sort of solution or something, just because again, like any sort of conflict, like the consequences for like the innocent bystanders are just so detrimental that I feel like, again, like even though this is like a constant tension between these two countries, like I feel like that shouldn't override like the people who live there's right to just like be at peace and not have to deal with like all the politics. But yeah, I don't know. I also just think it's interesting that like, how do you say it again? The Karabakh. Is that how you say it? Karabakh?
Karabakh? It's almost not really correct, but that's how I've always said it.
Karabakh. Okay. But yeah, it's just interesting that Azerbaijan has basically told them, like, those Armenians, like, there, like, stay and you have to be an Azerbaijani, like, citizen or, like, leave. Like, get out. Like, that's, yeah. That is, like, pretty, like, yikes. I don't know. I just don't have much to say. Like, this is just like makes me really sad. My family is part Armenian, and like I feel like Armenia does definitely get a lot of like conflict. Like, there's like a lot of conflict there, like especially like with Turkey and everything as well. So it just makes me sad that like all this stuff just still going on. But yeah. We'll definitely keep you all updated though if like anything else like major happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a pretty short episode so far.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we leave?
Sure. I was telling a story earlier. I just thought this was interesting. Nancy Pelosi's planning on running for re-election. A lot of people know this already, but she stepped down, or like said she wouldn't run again for Speaker of the House. But she, yeah, she's decided to run for re-election. And then do we want to like maybe, I know Story and I both have not watched the second debate yet because we've both been busy, but like do we want to talk about maybe like what I was telling you about, like what Chris Christie said, and maybe like give some like initial thoughts just so people
yeah. have.
Okay. So if y'all did not hear, the second Republican debate happened the other night. And there was a lot of interesting comments made. Again, I didn't watch the entire thing. I've just seen some clips, but it's definitely on my to-do list. But one of the most interesting things that I personally thought was said was by Chris Christie, who is the former New Jersey governor. And he said, quote, "If you're pro-life, you have to be pro-life for the entire life, not just the 9 months in the womb. And we've talked a lot about fentanyl tonight, and we haven't spoken one moment about treatment." And the reason I bring this up is most people know that the Republican Party is pretty hardcore, like anti-choice, quote unquote, like pro-life. But a lot of this like, quote unquote, pro-life support, whatever you want to call it, really does end after the child is born. And I personally like think that is just ridiculous. And I think if you're really going to sit there and say, I'm anti, you know, people having a choice, then you have to support a child and like want good quality of life for all human beings. And you know, the fentanyl crisis in this country is so bad. I mean, I am hearing every single day about people dying from drugs that are laced with fentanyl. So I think like I don't really like Chris Christie at all, but I do honestly appreciate that he brought up like we need to be talking about treatment instead of like just, you know, saying we're pro-life and not dealing with issues that are threatening human life. Like that I will give him credit for. Story, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first debate in full. I haven't seen like anything from the second one, but I've been looking at the 538 poll numbers, which essentially is, it's like it aggregates a bunch of polls done by various pollsters that essentially track the popularity of certain candidates. And right now, Trump is like far and away the leader, even though he hasn't been at either of the debates. They've referred to him a couple of times as the elephant not in the room, I remember. And then like, so he's at like 55.1% right now. And then the next highest is DeSantis at 13.5%. So it's like Trump is like far and away the leader. I think a lot of the other people like Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Chris Christie would probably end up endorsing DeSantis before they endorse Trump. So like once they start to drop out, I imagine DeSantis is probably going to pick up steam. Vivek Ramaswamy he's in third right now behind DeSantis at 6.6%, closely followed by Nikki Haley at 6.5%. But I really don't think Ramaswamy is going to go anywhere. I think he's probably just going to eventually drop out and probably support Trump. Maybe try and be VP or get some cabinet position. But I think he's been like the big like story of the primary because of how, you know, many inflammatory things he said on the media. One of my like favorite foreign policy writers wrote a piece about he called it the con man realism of Vivek Ramaswamy. So he's getting attention from all over. for saying stuff, but I don't know how far he's actually going to go. But I think he's positioning himself well to be the next Trump, I think. Like, maybe, you know, if Trump does win and he won't run in 2028, then Ramaswamy might be like, hey, like, you like Trump, you know, vote for me. But yeah, I do think that, like, people like Chris Christie, Nikki Haley are, like, the more, like, sane wing of the party, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they're just, definitely, like, not
very popular. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was also interesting because I know that Nikki Haley, like, kind of like you're talking about, like, she actually has, it seems like, more, she's more willing to be critical, it seems like. Like, she said, like, you know, she was talking about fentanyl in China, and she was saying, like, President Trump went wrong here. Like, he should have done more to stop, China from, like, being able to, like, send this out or whatever. And, like, what, you know, I don't know all the facts, obviously, of this specific issue, but I think just being willing to call out somebody who's so popular and is leading the polls by so much, like, that is pretty ballsy, I would say. And, like, whether, again, I personally, I don't like Nikki Haley. I don't think she's a good person, but I do respect people who are willing to call out bullies and people who, I know she doesn't probably think he's a bully, but people who maybe don't have common sense. And I don't know. I just think that anybody who's willing to stand up and say, hey, we should have done this differently, I'll give you some respect, because I think even Pence was, like, kind of giving in and not really, like, he hated on Trump a little bit in the first debate, but he also kind of, didn't he literally raise his hand and say if Trump ran again, he would vote for him?
Yeah, I think even Chris Christie did, who is, like, positioned himself as, like, a hardline anti-Trump candidate. So,
yeah. Like, it's just, it's kind of sad how at the end of the day, like, all these people are still willing to support this person. But if they're willing to at least call him out for things, I'll take whatever I can get, you know? Like.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't know. Do you have anything else that you have seen that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. I think we've covered all of it, like, pretty well and, like, pretty clearly, I think, in only half an hour. Most of our episodes go longer than that.
Well, I hope everybody has been enjoying listening in. And, like, feel free if anybody, I feel like I've said this before and I know Story has too, but, like, if anybody ever has any topics, like, they've seen that maybe, like, we haven't covered, like, feel free to shoot us a DM on Instagram. Like, we're always happy, like, to do some research into things, or, like, if there's something, like, you're curious about, like, you know, we're more than happy to talk about it, or, you know, put it in clearer terms, or whatever it may be. So, yeah, but thank you all for listening in. And thank you, Story, for everything. I always love talking with you. I always feel like I learned so much, and I don't know. I feel like we always have good discussions. So it's been really fun. Too. Thank you.
All right. Well, if that's it, then on that note, sunset out.